Monday, December 28th. President had no schedule today, as is the case for the rest of the week, except for a few minor functions at midday on a couple of the other days. He had me in for about an hour in the morning, interrupting my session with Roger Ailes, at which time I was telling him we were getting a new TV consultant. The purpose of the discussion at that time was just to review some of his schedule plans for the week. He's going to meet, as he did this afternoon, with Ehrlichman and Schultz. That turned into a three-hour meeting occupying most of the afternoon over at the EOB. Tomorrow afternoon he's meeting with John Connolly for another long session on plans for 71. He may have to spend some time with some of the Senate and congressional people on the strategy for finishing out this week. He wanted to be sure I got Chotiner, Klein, and Ailes wrapped up this week. I finally broke out of this morning meeting to finish up with Ailes, and I got started on Chotiner this afternoon, but we'll have to follow up because he's not satisfied with the law firm we've suggested he move into. He got back on the PR as usual, this time wanting Sapphire to do a composite memo outlining the objectives, what we've done and what didn't come through, and try to develop three or four key objectives for the coming year. Then he asked me to have a talk with Haig because he's concerned as a result of his conversation with Rogers yesterday that Rogers is aware of what Haig is doing with the Russians. That's correction. Rogers is aware of what Henry's doing with the Russians. And while Henry thinks he's operating secretly, he's not really. The president feels that both the Israeli and Russian embassies are bugged by the State Department, and therefore Roger knows everything Kissinger says on the phone or in the embassy. So he has to assume that all that he says is known, except, of course, the things that are covered in his meetings in the map room. The president feels that Henry's got to open up the fact of his secret channel so that Rogers knows about it, that we have some more candor in this whole thing, because the problem now of playing it two ways poses a very bad situation for the president. For example, on the Paris trips, Tony Lake, who's now working for Muskie, was with Henry, so he knows all about them. Yet Rogers doesn't know about it. There's a good chance that this will come out, which would be a very embarrassing thing. Also on the Ivanov problem, it was hard to explain to Rogers that Henry had been making an independent deal with Dobrynin. The president feels Henry's got to realize he's not a secret-type person, that the things he does do come out, and so we'll either have to get along with each other or we'll have to change one of the people involved. He summed it up by saying the whole situation now poses a major problem for the president because Rogers knows that Kissinger's meeting with Dobrynin. Maybe the thing to do is tell Rogers that both he and Henry have to meet with Dobrynin independently, and both of them should understand this. To do this, we'd have to get Kissinger and Rogers together, especially as we approach the possibility of a meeting with the Russians. I got out for about an hour to finish up the Ailes discussion and some other odds and ends, and then he buzzed me back in at noon and kept me in for another 2.5 hours, this time with Colson there. He got into sort of a long, rambling discussion on follow-up items, the whole need for an attack on the Democrats, the need to develop our contact program, concentrating on the top 100 people in the country, spread across contributors, press, political, labor, religious, educational, etc. Then he got back onto his story of having never called a reporter, complained about a story, etc. The fact that we haven't gotten that across. Then the need for spokesmen that we can trust who can get on TV and talk about what the president is like. End of December 28th.